Woolly mammoths show up in today's GeoQuiz. Archaeologists have long been studying the paintings and drawings on the walls of a famous cave complex in France. The Stone Age art dates back to the Paleolithic Age. Many of the drawings represent woolly mammoths. In fact, the place is nicknamed the Cave of 100 Mammoths. Lately, researchers have been focusing on some finger drawings. They think children as young as 3, 4, or 5 did some of the artwork. It's as if the cave served as a kind of prehistoric nursery, where kids were encouraged to develop their creative skills in cave art. Imagine that, 13,000 years ago. So, quick, name the cave complex in Western France where kids left their marks. Okay, we're going to get the answer from an archaeologist now. Jessica Cooney is at the University of Cambridge, where a conference on the archaeology of childhood is taking place this weekend. Jessica, first of all, which is this cave, nicknamed the Cave of the 100 Mammoths? Where is it?
It's a cave in France called Ruffignac. It's in the Dordogne region, which is kind of in southern central France. And the general area is called the Vézère Valley. It's actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Right. And if listeners were able to name the French commune of Ruffignac Saint-Cernin de Rélac, give yourself extra credit today. So describe this artwork for us. Create a picture of the pictures.
Well, the artwork itself is beautiful. The entire cave, which is itself a very large cave, is covered in them. The art that I study is called finger flutings. And if you'll imagine, it's almost like finger paintings, but without the paint and done in clay. So it's a lot of lines, zigzags, circles, just covering the walls and the ceilings of this cave.
And it's said that these were done by not one, but several children and of several ages. How do you know the details to be that specific?
Well, obviously, the cave's been known for a really long time, and these lines and drawings were just kind of mysterious figures. About 10 years ago, Dr. Leslie Van Gelder, who's the current director of the finger fluting project, as well as Dr. Kevin Sharp, decided that they wanted to know more about the people who made the finger fluting. So they were actually able to get thousands of children and adults today to recreate finger flutings in clay and plaster of Paris. By measuring the width of your three middle fingers, you can actually get a very individualized number. And people who had a measurement of 34 millimeters or less are actually children who are 7 years old or younger.
Wow. You know, I'm fascinated by the idea that societies 13,000 years ago were onto the idea of daycare.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, back in the day, children might not have necessarily been so separate. What we were able to confirm recently was that children went everywhere in the cave. I mean, when I say it's a big cave, it takes at least 45 minutes to get from the front to the very back. In certain chambers, you actually have to crawl for about 10 minutes. So it's very adventurous for us archaeologists, but we do find children everywhere throughout the cave. There's no area that only has adults or only has children. You know, we think that this art actually proves that children were very involved in the day-to-day life and the daily activities.
What else does it yield in terms of insight into the lives of children 13,000 years ago, about their way of life outside this nursery, as it were?
The people that we know about were hunter-gatherers, so they would not have settled. They would have constantly traveled. And from what the evidence in the cave shows us, the children were heavily involved in everyday aspects of life. They wouldn't have been separated out from the adults. So they would have been constantly playing, learning, exploring their environment, really taking part in everything around them.
So are these doodles and zigzags more than just lines? Is there a larger picture that they're creating?
It's entirely possible. Some of the finger flutings do show animals or anthropomorphic figures, which we think might actually be people. There's also tectiforms, which are symbolic images. We don't know what these symbolic images mean, but we do know that they are special and found throughout three caves over a couple of thousand-year period, and children were making some of these images. We're pretty sure that at least two of the children were actually girls. What the flutings themselves meant, we can speculate that they were anything from play to ritual, an initiation, you know, or just a rainy day when they needed something to do.
What are the questions about these paintings that still are unanswered for you?
I think we have a very good grasp on Ruffignac at the moment. I mean, there's still so much work to do. Finger flutings exist throughout the world. And so what I'd like to know is, who is making them in other places? What does this mean about the cave art? Can we actually really start to make informed decisions about who made the art and why they were making the art? There are plenty of theories out there, but hopefully by understanding more about the flutings and more about the people who made them, we can get a better idea of not only what they meant, but perhaps more about what all Paleolithic art meant in general.
Well, I saw these pictures of these cave paintings, and we've got a link at theworld.org. Can I just say, my kid could have done that.
Probably. I mean, these kids were no different, right? So, you know, if your kid starts to draw on the kitchen wall, maybe you shouldn't wash it off. Who knows? In 13,000 years, it could be world famous.
Jessica Cooney at the University of Cambridge. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is PRI.